get out the saws on it.
By the way, did you notice that John and I called each other this morning to make sure we're dressed alike?
Not very happy about that.
Let's take a picture.
All right. I want to. We talked about what it, the cost of discipleship or the cost of being saved and what salvation is. It's it. We're studying Luke 9:56. Now I want to spend a little bit more time on this because it's a huge, huge deal. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. It's talking about Melchizedek. And Melchizedek was the king or the figure that appeared to Jesus, I mean to Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes to him, if you remember. Now, I believe that Melchizedek was Christ, but not Jesus Christ. And that's a big difference. You understand the difference?
You're going to have to talk about that.
Huh?
You're going to have to talk about that. What does that mean?
Yeah. Means the Holy Spirit came upon this figure, so he was anointed completely to be the future or the figure or the type of Jesus Christ.
So there have been other Christ besides Jesus Christ?
Every time you see the word the angel of the Lord, more than likely it's Christ.
Christ or Jesus Christ?
No, not Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was unique because he became Son of Man so that he could transform the vessel into a different thing.
Well, I think I understand the difference between Jesus Christ and everyone else, but I don't understand why anyone else should have the name Christ. What is Christ?
Well, they didn't have the name Christ, but the word Christ is just the word that means fully anointed. Well, let's read about him, and then you can ask the questions. Good. In chapter 1, verse 7, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. Now, there are many people that say that there were five kings. And many people say that the five kings in us represent our five senses. Hearing, sight, smell, touch, and taste. And the five kings had to be defeated. And until they were defeated, then you will always have reference to yourself in any kind of salvation activity or any kind of... You will always keep yourself in the picture as long as even one of those kings is alive.
It's interesting they use the word slaughter. That's pretty severe as opposed to...
Okay, well, let's watch this. To whom Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father and without mother. They're talking about Melchizedek now. Without father, without mother, without descent. Having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils, or paid tithes, in other words. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. And without contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And that's, you got to hear that. You can't say to someone, God bless you, unless you put yourself above them. And the songs that people sing, bless the Lord, O my soul, that's not what it says. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul. It's without contradiction. The less is blessed of the better. Understand?
I understand the less is blessed of the better, but when you say God bless, you're saying may God bless, not...
Well, if you say that, then that's different.
But obviously, God's the one.
I have a cup of coffee here with ice in it hiding somewhere.
I don't see.
That's just weird.
You didn't go in the kitchen?
I didn't go in the kitchen. No. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them, of whom it witnessed that he was it, of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now this is the important part. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should have rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he whom for whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So there's two orders of the priesthood. There's the order of Aaron and the order of Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ is the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Now that puts it in a totally different position. Now what serveth the law? The law served so that sin would be abundant. It's the only purpose of the law. So the law serves in you, and part of the law is still, if you are perceiving by your senses, you're still under the law. Do you understand that? That's why I've said over and over and over, this mystery of salvation has absolutely nothing to do with you. And as long as you and any of your senses are in the picture, then he, by his humility, cannot reveal himself. But when finally those five kings are destroyed or slaughtered, then you have this overpowering sense of presence that has no reference at all to you. And that's what it means to be born again. There's no more, oh, this is what I do, about it. That's why it's so almost impossible to describe. Because there's no reference to you. Now let's continue. Now go, what?
Well, we've been talking the last few days about salvation, and yesterday it was like, who's saved, what part of you is good, what is all that. And this kind of digs deeper into the...
That's spirit. Right. That's what we're doing.
Yes, yeah. And so for our understanding to see that there is no salvation without this loss of five kings, then that enhances our understanding of where...
Why repentance is so critical.
Yeah, why Jesus has this interest in us.
Right. because we are no more after the order of Adam. Just as the priesthood is no more after the heir of Aaron, so we, as members of the bride, have no, we are not after the order of Aaron, or even of the order of Adam. We are of another creature, another concept, another genus, if you will.
And it's after the order of Melchizedek.
Right. Without father, without mother, without end. Because we've been born from the very beginning. All that the revelation, the really the born again mystery is, that all of a sudden your soul is flooded with no reference to yourself. Now, I'm not going to get into a discussion about, well, have I been born again even though I'm still struggling. That's another topic that is none of my business. But my business is to kill the five kings, if you will. That's what the preaching of the cross does. A little bit?
Yeah.
You cannot experience him as long as the senses are operating in you. All you will do is you will come to an understanding, maybe all that's necessary, but you'll never be flooded because you are there.
When you say senses, you mean like seeing, smelling,
flooded.
Tasting.
Is that what you're saying?
Huh?
Your senses.
Right.
They have to, the five senses. What are your five senses?
Hearing, seeing, smelling, tasting, feeling.
No. Touch.
Touch. Okay.
All of them have to do with feeling. Melchizedek couldn't be revealed to Abraham until the five kings were slaughtered. That's the parable. So until your five kings, your five senses, your sense of feeling has no more reference to you, then you are still struggling. You're yet carnal. Preaching is the
right.
Job of preaching.
If I may, your job is to reveal it. God then doesn't work if not that way. Then you have an investment in the outcome.
Right.
And me too, I'm not just talking to you. Because our job is only to bring forth, and that is it. It doesn't work.
Right. All right. So the preaching of the cross is the power of God. That's the mystery of God. But the preaching of the cross has to kill the five senses. Slaughter them. It's only then can you reproduce yourself. Otherwise, you'll just reproduce more atoms that somehow have an investment in Christ. Because no matter what you do, you'll end up having a reference to self. All right, now listen. Verse 17, for he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. And insomuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For these priests were made without an oath, but this man with an oath, by him that said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Now, we're going to come back here, but let's go to where that came from. Go to Psalm 104.
Who are we talking to here?
Huh?
Talking
Christ. This is defining him. Psalm 110.
110.
You Just as the Psalm this is a wild psalm. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Now this is written by David, and David is saying, the Lord said unto my Lord. Who is David's Lord? Jesus Christ. David was king. And he said this incredible thing. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Do you get the sense that something is going on without reference to you? Without reference to your mind, without reference to your opinions, without reference to your senses, without reference to anything that you possess, without reference to your past. The only purpose your past made was to mold the container to fit so that you would first be, you were made in the image of God. Now you can hold the likeness. Image, remember, the tselem, the glove fitting the hand. Shall the glove say to the hand, I have no need of you? Well, that's what we do when we start operating by our senses. You understand that? We operate by our opinions, our stands, our judgments. We are by our senses. Then what are we doing? We're saying, we're the hands, or the gloves saying to the hand, I have no need of thee. Got it? The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of my power. Now what does that mean? You're willing. Doesn't mean your will. You're born not with the will of man. You're only willing, you only show the true meaning of willing when you have emptied. Without opinion, without sensory concern, without anything your mind contains, then you're willing in the day of his power. And I don't care how many thousand times you've celebrated Pentecost, until this happens, you haven't seen Pentecost. It's still buried deep within you. You still have the mystery of God in prison, deep within your bowels. I know you're so sincere about it. Well, I'm doing the best I can. You're still making a reference to yourself. A little bit. My people are willing in the day of my power. Notice shall be is in italics. It's the true meaning of obedience. Thy people, obedient in the day of my power. The obedience is total emptiness. Not learning more law. There isn't a man in the world that isn't born under the law. Can you see why I've said so often, it has no reference to past, there is no future, it's now, all present, now? How can you conceive of this? You can't, until you come to the end of yourself.
A couple things, the word letting keeps happening, where you're letting.
And I used to say the two most important words in the Bible were reckon and let. And that's true. As long as we're yet carnal. When we finally see, then we see that even our willingness is up, is God. But it only comes, it only comes when you've come to the total end of self, when your five senses have been slaughtered.
What is your definition of reckon? Quite a few.
Well, let means to let. Reckon means to consider. Reckon yourself crucified. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Yeah, but still, that's why you're still yet carnal. It's necessary. But the bigger picture, from the top down, is the sovereignty of God.
Like this slaughter of the senses is a done deal, right?
Right. The only way it's not done is when you've resurrected the evil one or you've never killed him in the first place.
Right. And so by the seeing of that reality, then we...
We agree with the inner man.
We agree, yeah. Then the letting is joyful. I mean, you want that to go.
All right. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. God, what a great sentence. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head. How is he lifting up the head? The head is only he who is a priest after the order of Melchizedek. He lifts up the head when my people are willing in the day of my power. My people are empty in the day of my power. The only way you have the capacity to be empty is when the senses have been slaughtered, when any reference to yourself is gone forever. That's when salvation happens. That's when you're flooded with the joy of the Lord and the presence never leaves you. That's your first love. That's nothing can take you from that. That's the fulfillment of everything. And it's available right now. It's your heritage. It cost you everything. Even your past.
Your what?
Past. Costs you everything, even your future. But he is no fool who gave up that which he never owned in the first place to gain that which he will never lose. The glove no longer says to the hand, I have no need of thee. All right, back to Hebrews. Verse 22, by so much was Jesus made surety of a better testament. You know what surety means? Yeah, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better covenant, or better testament. you put down a surety, and if you borrow money, and you put down something. If your credit's no good, you put down something that is equal or greater than the value that you are borrowing. That's your surety. Now here we have nothing. But we put down, he is the surety, he is everything, because we have nothing. But you can't understand that until you know you have nothing. Then he is the surety for our better covenant. Not us. Nothing about us. If you seek to save your life in any way, you will lose it. All right. I don't know why I'm going on a rant, but it's really, this is everything.
This is the second time.
In verse 23, and there were truly many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up a sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity or weakness, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh a son who is consecrated forevermore. He doesn't give you peace, he is peace. He doesn't show you the way, he is the way. He doesn't give you life, he is life. The more, all you will ever get is more of him. But it, there can be none of you. Amen?
Amen.
Anybody have any response?
I'm saying if the focus of your salvation has anything to do with you, and then you have an experience to say, I was saved, then you kind of miss it. It's not that the I is gone. And it's like he is saved in you, or he is revealed in you. About him, and I will try and jump in there and grab some glory.
You catch that phrase, you were saved to the uttermost.
Yeah.
You'll be flooded with light, flooded with peace, flooded with presence. But it may come after years and years and years. For some, it takes many years for the five kings to be destroyed, unfortunately. Now, what I've, for all this time, and I still do, I call that rebellion.
It's amazing how total repentance is so healing and revealing. Yet I rebel so much more than I probably even realize. But
I want you to imagine an existence which has no reference to you, no need of man's praise, no need of a man's presence. You need nothing, but you give everything. That's the whole mystery of the legend of the cornucopia. Well, that's enough. Let's kill those kings. Or not, better yet, saying, see that they're already dead. All right, take it, big guy. By the way,